Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. Hopefully you got your Bible there in front of you. You got maybe a cup of coffee or something. I know I do. Amen. I'm enjoying my morning here, and I'm excited to share God's word with you. And I'm so thankful that you've come along here to study God's word. And last episode, we talked about the beginning, Genesis 7:1. Of God's complete judgment on the earth that's about to take place. And we focused on this idea of Noah having faith. And I could see some people listening to that just not really being able to identify with, like, I mean, how do I grow my faith? Like, what am I doing? You know, I'm so far from this concept. You know, I'm trying to get into God's word, and it seems like I don't understand the things of God's word. And it seems like, you know, I can't quite figure out what would God would have me to do. Look, that's totally normal. You know, that's what I will start with. You know, not that that's a compliment, but, it's totally normal to deal with these things struggle, right? Romans 10:17 tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. If we're not constantly in the word of God, how could we then have strong faith? We can't. And God is really unique in the way that he will bring about his word. I used to be the video guy at our old church, and I would record the messages. So I had to monitor the camera and stuff. And that got me in front of God's man who's preaching God's word for more times than I can count, you know, for every revival meeting, every tent meeting, every camp meeting, which I don't know the difference between a tent meeting and a camp meeting, but that's another thing. For every, you know, midweek service, for every Sunday service, pretty much, for even some of Sunday school or special, you know, events, special singings at the church, fellowship stuff, constantly in front of God's word. And I knew God was up to something there beyond just, okay, you know, record it, post it, record it, share it online, you know, record it, burn it to a DVD for somebody. I knew there was more to that. But the point is that, you know, God works in mysterious ways. You know, maybe you have a job, and I've had a job before like this, where you can listen to these kind of podcasts, or you can listen to audio Bibles all day long. You know, maybe you're a truck driver and you're on the road, and it's very similar. You can listen all the time. Maybe you have a lot of time on your hands. Maybe you're retired, or you got laid off, or there's just a season, you know, you work seasonally or something. I know a guy who used to go out to like Alaska, go fishing or something. Well, he said he did. I don't know. I didn't verify it, but he said he would go out there and catch big fish or crabs or salmon or something. Maybe you have time, whatever it is, spend time in God's word, look around and see what God is doing to help build your faith. And as he builds your faith, then a lot of the statements about Noah will start to ring more true. Because really, the underlying statement is that Noah simply believed, and this incredible thing happened through his faith, right? And so we all can have faith, and God gives us a measure of faith. But our faith, the Bible tells us, grows by getting in his word. People say, I want to hear from God. Well, great. There's, you know, a book with 66 chapters in it, you know, many, many pages, amen, that you can hear God speak. It's called The Living Word for a Reason. We're going to get to Genesis 7, the next two verses, 2 and 3, right after this break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
Amen. Okay, so moving right along in Genesis 7, we're going to read verses 2 and 3. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. All right, and I'll read verse 3 and we'll go back to 2. Of fowls also, or birds, of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. All right, so we have here some very specific instructions by God to Noah. So God is speaking to Noah directly. We know that God speaks, and when God speaks, and he's telling a command, he's doing it because of impending events. Things are going to happen. And we see here very specific. God doesn't say, take some animals onto the ark. He says, take two of every kind, seven of the clean, two of the unclean. Okay? And the question is, why were the clean beasts taken by sevens? Now, think about the time here, the context of this verse, the time we have not yet had the law. The law, as we understand it, came by the Levites, right? That's called the Levitical law. And the Levites were the who? They're sons of Aaron, Moses' brother, right? So this is before, taking place before that time. Now, we understand the author of Genesis to be Moses, but it was before the law. So if we are taking this, as I do, at face value, the beasts taken by sevens wouldn't have been for a specific order of sacrifice under the law, but the clean beasts would have then been sacrificed at, like, when he got off the boat, when Noah got off the boat, when the flood rescinded, right, when it went away, there was that sacrifice, and God was providing for the sacrifice. Because remember, God was calling us to give what? The first fruits, amen? The firstlings of the flock, right? And that was just previously there in Genesis with Cain and Abel. And Cain brought an unfit sacrifice, and Abel brought a fit one, and Cain was jealous and killed Abel. So we understand, number one, sacrifice was taking place at this time to God. We understand that that sacrifice was to be exceptional. It was to be premium, the best, amen? Not the worst. And imagine that you were a sheep herder or sheep farmer, whatever you want to call it, a shepherd. Okay, we'll go with that. Imagine if you're that and you have a flock of 20 sheep. God's saying, give me your best one, the one that's most profitable to you. You give me that one, right? But in God's love and mercy, even the unclean beasts were preserved. And you can really follow this down the line. And I intentionally didn't. Like, I didn't go through a deep dive on this because I see in the scriptures enough to kind of get the gist of it. And I don't want to, like, just presume things. But yeah, like, what if God said, okay, just bring the tigers on the boat, just bring the elephants on the boat and nothing else. And then you would, and he allowed that to just be what animal life we'd have left post flood. That wouldn't be great. But God in his mercy gave us all the animals, and specifically to Noah, gave him all the animals. And presumably some of these clean beasts were used for a sacrifice off the boat, maybe even on the boat. I don't know, on the ark. But we know certainly when he got off that he offered a sacrifice that was appealing to God. Amen. It was acceptable to God. And so we understand that. And I'm going to dig up that verse and share it with you here. And the verse is Genesis 8, 20 and 21. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So here we see it was the clean beast, the clean bird. Amen. That's who he offered. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. So he smelled that sweet savor. He's taken away that curse that he had cursed Adam and Cain with. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. Okay. And so we see here that just a chapter later, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, that these animals were at least in part used for the sacrifice. And then we also see that the fowls were as well, amen. We see here of the fowls also, birds of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. Now this, I believe, you know, again, and I think this is distinctive between the twos and the sevens, right? So we're seeing take these by seven, the clean beasts, and then take the not clean by two, male and female, right? And then we see take the fouls by seven, right? So the distinctive is you're going to take more of each kind of bird, right? By the way, is Noah out in the wilderness with like a net? No, God's sending these animals to him, okay? So he's just letting Noah understand the program. God's making it happen, I believe. I mean, how could you go and capture, build a massive ark and capture every piece of wildlife that exists? I don't think so. So I think God's sending the wildlife to him miraculously, as God can do. And he's letting Noah know that these birds are going to help with what? The distribution of the seed. Amen. And so birds can take seeds and distribute it across the earth. It's incredible. If you look at, like, I think it's called seed dispersion, and there's a whole science around this. You can see the just genius that God used when creating the world. I mean, it's like, we'll look at my daughter likes to pick up those little, not daffodils, but those little flowers with the white fuzzy stuff on it, and you can blow them. I'm sure someone listening knows what that is. pitifully, I don't, but she'll take that and blow that, and you know, you'll see that stuff go in the air. Well, those are seeds that go in the air and can travel a very far distance. And you'll have animals, critters, you know, whether it's the chipmunk or the squirrel that has the instinct to bury their food in the ground, or whether it's birds, they'll fly away with these things to far off places, and the seeds will fall down. They'll get into fertile ground and they'll grow there. So God's way of dispersing the seeds, as we see in Genesis 7, verse 3 here, is to then go ahead and keep alive on the face of all the earth this plant life. And remember, at this time, the program was, I believe, a plant-based diet. So this would have been for man. All of this it's incredible. God's preference for man and his love for man, all of this is created to help us understand what he's going to provide for man. And this is all his plan. Man couldn't concoct this. I never thought about how seeds were dispersed before studying it some years ago for our little church. And I was blown away by what God does through the ecosystem or the environment, if you will. We notice an emphasis here, going back to verse 2 for a minute, of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. And then it repeats it for the unclean, the male and his female. Now, why is God specifying male and female, I wonder? Well, for procreation, so that these beasts could multiply, right? And that they could procreate. And instinctively, we know that they do, and that's how we still have them here today. And we understand that this is God's program, that God wants a populated earth. He wouldn't say male and female if he didn't want a populated earth. We understand that God has a good plan for man, and that good plan is heterosexuality, the idea that the male and the female are to marry and be as one flesh, and they are to be fruitful and to multiply. This is God's plan. God's plan then was to repopulate the earth, and God's plan today is for us, I believe, to be fruitful and multiply until he calls us home. Nowhere do I see in the scripture anything contradicting that. In fact, if you really want to get technical, there was a hard season for God's chosen people when they were taken captive. And guess what? They were told to be fruitful and multiply. Okay, here we have it. Jeremiah 29, 4 through 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Who caused it? God caused it. Build ye houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, there's that seed again, eat the fruit of them, take ye wives, and begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Wow. So through the prophet Jeremiah, God is telling the Israelites, be fruitful. Amen. How are you fruitful? That's a man and a woman. Don't get it wrong. Okay. I wish I had more time, but I don't. I'm running out. So we will tackle next verse here in Genesis 7 when we return tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. God bless. And amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow. Same time, same place.